Appreciate Marquise Munson, who is back at our studios on Murfreesboro Pike, for getting me going with the little Bray Wyatt this morning. So that is definitely the way to go. Let's start things out. People might be wondering what's going on with our lineup. They heard Golic and Wingo this morning, and they will continue to do so for the foreseeable future from 5 to 9 a.m. And then you and I will hit the airwaves locally 9 to 10 with this show, The Rundown. But in uncertain times, unfortunately, you know, just got to do things a little bit differently these days with the COVID-19 outbreak. So I will turn things over to you as the program director to kind of update people.
Yeah, so Golic and Wingo through ESPN Radio will be running in its entirety from 5 to 9 a.m. And then, like you said, you and I will be jumping on here with The Rundown here locally here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And this is just a temporary change. We want to thank Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Adam Vingan, Alex Apple, and everyone else who helped contribute to that morning show here in recent weeks. The decision was not content based. They did a phenomenal job in the interim on the interim basis. But hope everyone stay safe, practices social distancing, and the more we can do that, the quicker we can get back to normal lives, which will include a live morning show once again. But once again, this lineup change, this programming update going into effect starting this morning, earlier in the morning.
Yeah, and I know you're doing some local updates during that as well. I'm going to say this, Robbie Stanley, you and I have known him for a long time. You obviously know him quite well, but we've all kind of come up together in this business. And to ask him to step in and you know, work that show, that shift, that's and being a newlywed, I mean, that's life-altering because it's early. It's very early to get up at 4 a.m. and come in and do a four-hour morning show. Marquise knows it quite well, so do I. But Robbie's done a tremendous job anchoring that coverage, and you mentioned Joe and Adam and Alex and the others that have stepped in. So this is, like you said, it's temporary. We're in very weird times. That's the only way I know to put it. You know, I was thinking about this earlier when I said the Palatial Chase McCabe Studios. When I was a kid and I would do fake shows, I would say I'm live from the Chase McCabe Studios. I never thought I would actually be doing shows from my house,
the Chase McCabe Studios.
Yeah, so that's just where we are, but hopefully this is all done soon. I had to go, you know, they say you can leave your house for essential needs, going to the grocery store, pharmacy, things like that. Those are considered essential, and I went and picked up food, which is also considered essential. So I left my house twice this weekend, and there were a ton of people out. Stop it. Stay home.
Unless flatten you absolutely need to right. be out, please stay home. I experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
I understand some people do need to go to work still and do essential things. I get it, but I agree with you, Chase. If you don't need to be out, please don't be out. This thing is real, and the quicker that we can flatten this curve, the better this world is going
to
be.
Yeah, because we can get back to our normal lives. I used the analogy with Darren and Willie on Friday that they understood, both being fathers, of it's kind of like the you know, Christmas Eve. The sooner you go to bed, the sooner you can wake up and see what Santa brought. The sooner that we just stay home and we flatten this curve, the sooner everything goes back to how it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's my message.
Speaking of home studios, if you hear me yell the name Maverick, that means our cat is getting close to the equipment that has a lot of cords, and this cat loves chewing cords. So if anyone hears a random Maverick, that means there's a cat about to invade on the equipment here.
No, Mav, this is not a good idea. You're going to hear me say things like that because I'll be quoting
sure.
movie Top Gun that you've never seen.
There you go. I've seen it.
Ah, so good. All right, so our voting is now officially open in our Nashville sports bracket. Round number 2, the round of 32, the Jeff Fisher region. And before we get into the matchups in the Jeff Fisher region, which I'm going to go through this quickly, just, you know, let everybody know that you can vote. Jeff Fisher is going to join Darren Donick and Chase at 10:15 today. So that'll be
about an hour and 10 minutes from right now.
Yes. So voting is underway. You have until 9 o'clock tonight to vote in both the Jeff Fisher region round of 32 and the Tim Corbin region as well. So we got some great matchups in that one. Is there one that stands out to you, Ryan, that you're really interested in?
Well, between those two regions, the one that I'm really interested in seeing how it plays out is the 2-seed Shea Weber versus the 7-seed Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard won in a landslide in the first round over Joseph Newgarden. And if there was a 2-7 upset in this bracket, it could be Kevin Byard. He of Middle Tennessee State University and now the Tennessee Titans. I could see him getting enough fan voting to at least make it close with Shea Weber.
Yeah, and I'm curious of that one, and I'm curious of Steve McNair against the boy, Taylor Lewan, because if early voting is any indication, this is not looking good for the boy. That's what I'll say on that.
Yeah, 95-5 right now, but only a few votes in, and we did see Will Compton last week on Twitter quote tweet our bracket and say that he was going to go all out for the boy.
Yep.
So maybe Will Compton isn't aware just yet that Taylor Lewan is included in the voting today. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and then also another one that I think is going to be interesting is PK Subban, Javon Kearse, which, again, this is very early, but it's 50-50 right now. Obviously, PK Subban is top of mind for a lot of people, but the freak Javon Kearse paved the way for the Tennessee Titans, or at least helped. And so I'm curious of that one as well. So big stories from the weekend. Obviously, we're still in a place where there aren't live sports, except one entity did hold their biggest event. WWE went ahead with WrestleMania. And, Ryan, I know you're not the wrestling fan like Marquise and I are, but
Nope. Just
to give you a quick synopsis, they have taped this basically over the course of the last couple of weeks from their performance center in Orlando. A lot of the wrestlers have been on ESPN all morning talking about the process and what they did, and they taped it in segments, so they didn't have a lot of people in the building at one time. They did the best they could with social distancing, and they have taped a lot of their shows, you know, a few weeks in advance now to try and limit the personnel. But I was skeptical. I didn't think it was going to work because they didn't have fans. I was just wondering how they're going to pull things off, and I'm going to give them a lot of credit. They made it work, and I think that it's something that now a lot of leagues, and we saw Elliot Friedman put out over the weekend that there is a potential scenario that, again, this is, it's just kind of talking, it's on the table, the players have to agree to it, the league obviously has to agree to it, but that the NHL could return and play the playoffs in one central, or not central, but one location in North Dakota is being mentioned. Now, why would they go to North Dakota? Why would
that work? Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, I'll tell you why. I mean, I read Elliot's article, and I think it's interesting because you can't have fans. And you know, like, let's say that a month from now, the NHL decides we're going to come back, we're going to pick the season up, we're going to play playoffs, whatever we're going to do, they're not going to be ready to have fans. You're just not at that point. So if you go to one location, and North Dakota has been thrown out there, Grand Forks, North Dakota, to be precise, because they have an arena. It's a smaller venue. It's a small town, so you don't have as many people there. And you go and you make that kind of the location for the league, have everybody there, have everybody quarantined. I think in their mind, they think they could pull that off. Now, to me, there are a lot of logistics that you have to work out. And I know that we're gonna get into this on Darren Donick and Chase as well, but what are your initial thoughts of just the idea, whether it's the NHL, you know, the NBA, that those rumors are out there that they could basically take Vegas and play the playoffs in Vegas because Vegas has six arenas, I think, and they have the space. They obviously have the hotel space, so they could make it like an NBA commune or something like that. What are your thoughts on this type of scenario?
It's definitely unique, and no matter how sports return, hopefully sooner rather than later, hopefully sometime in the early summer, we heard Donald Trump say, or we heard that Donald Trump told a lot of the sports commissioners over the weekend that August could be a date to return. But no matter how these sports return, it's definitely going to be a unique setting. We heard, what was it, last week that Major League Baseball is considering having the postseason at neutral sites that are in warm cities or warm climates, than rather than having, you know, Red Sox, Yankees in Boston in late November or what have you, they could have Red Sox, Yankees in Florida. It's definitely going to be a unique scenario. If the NHL comes back and plays their games in North Dakota, it is going to be super weird. If the NBA comes back and plays all their games in Vegas, like the Summer League, basically, it's going to be super weird, and it's not going to feel normal at all. I'm not saying I'm against it, but it's definitely going to be weird no matter how that cookie crumbles with sports returning.
Well, look, nothing's going to feel normal. Right. Nothing is normal. I mean, that's just where we are. And I thought it was very telling, not just interesting, telling, that President Donald Trump met with the commissioners this weekend, because, you know, you have to kind of look at this as the trickle-down effect. The trickle-down effect that essentially sports help drive the economy. Mm-hmm. Well, the economy is getting beat all to hell because of this. We all are very aware of that. So he looks at it as if sports can come back in some capacity, that's going to help stimulate some of the economy. It's not going to fix it all, but you're going to have advertising revenue and things like that that are related to these leagues, that's going to help things. So he looks at it as this is going to help the country by trying to get these leagues back, at least in some capacity. So meets with them, and I think in one guy that was on that call was Vince McMahon, the chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment. And he and Donald Trump are very close. They're good friends. And I believe that part of that is so Vince could explain, well, this is how we've been able to do this. Now, obviously, they have their own facility. Wrestling's different. You can pull it off. I mean, you're not playing, you know, you have two people or four people in the ring at the same time, plus a referee. You don't have as many people within close proximity of each other like you would in an NHL game or an NBA game. But the idea is to play these games in a closed arena with as little, with a small amount of people in there. You have maybe a select number of media. You have some commentators, and you televise it. So I like the idea. I still think it's in the early stages. They have to figure out how to make this work logistically, but I think they're getting to a point where they have to figure out how to make it work.
Well, here's the thing, Chase, is that all these leagues, I would assume, have dozens of contingency plans just based on, you know, where they could play, when they could play. You know, I'm sure Major League Baseball has all sorts of plans. You know, if we're able to come back with sports at Memorial Day, if we're able to come back with sports at July 4th, if we're able to come back with sports, you know, in the beginning of August, I'm sure Major League Baseball has all sorts of different contingency plans, whether it's an 81-game schedule, whether it's, you know, 120 with some doubleheaders included. You know, it's just one of those things where it's impossible to truly predict when everything can go back to normal. But at the same time, these leagues have to be prepared for when that moment happens to have some plans in place, or at least have plans to seriously discuss and not get caught with their pants down.
Yeah, and I just love that they are having those conversations. And, you know, whether it happens or it doesn't happen, this gives us a little bit of hope that, okay, something is in the works and something could happen soon. It is the rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. As we said at the top of the show, 9 a.m. every day, Ryan Porth and myself, Chase McCabe. We will bring you an hour of sports talk leading into Darren Donick and Chase Golic and Wingo from 5 until 9 weekdays. When we come back, Ryan, the Titans, they still have a giant decision to make on how much to pay their running back. He has signed the franchise tender. What is he worth? We will discuss that when we return the rundown. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Peter King on Pro Football Talk discussing Derrick Henry and whether the Titans should pay him long term. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth here on the rundown. Marquise Munson is back at the Game Nashville Studios, powered by Rumble on the Wholesale Inc. Game Nashville Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, what did you make of that? I have some thoughts, but I'll let you go first.
Well, I think Peter King brings up a lot of valid points and points that a lot of people point to when it comes to running backs in the National Football League and comparing those situations to the one Derrick Henry finds himself in. Look, Derrick Henry coming off his best season yet, leading the National Football League in rushing yards, and it is dangerous to pay a running back big money. I get it. But here's the thing about Derrick Henry, at least in my opinion, is it's not like Derrick Henry has a ton of wear and tear in the National Football League. I've heard others bring up, I believe Teron Davenport is the one that has been the champion of this point, is Derrick Henry, when he gets hit, he's usually the one doing the hitting and not getting hit. How many times have you seen Derrick Henry take on a huge hit from a linebacker or a safety?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is an absolute beast. He has not had, outside of last season, he has not had a ton of time in the National Football League where he's been the bell cow running back. So I feel confident, if I am GM John Robinson, I feel confident in giving Derrick Henry a deal that is probably 3 or 4 years long, where depending on where the guaranteed money lies, the guaranteed money could be anywhere from 35 to 40 million. I know Zeke, when he got his contract, the guaranteed money was 50 million. If GM John Robinson can keep that guaranteed number around 40 or just shy of 40, I have no problem at all paying Derrick Henry for 3 or 4 years, because I am convinced, especially with how durable he's been at Alabama and with the Titans. You know, he missed one game last year. It was a pulled hammy, and then he responded with 4 monster games, really, and carried this team all the way to the AFC Championship. So,
He was pissed off that he didn't play. That's the competitor in him.
Maybe, but he also could have been of the mindset that he was trying to earn a little bit more cash this offseason.
Right.
You know, that was kind of his final chance to make a statement, and he made a giant statement. And I cannot see the Titans going into next season with him under the franchise tag. I feel like this offseason, John Robinson and Derrick Henry and Henry's agent, they'll come to an agreement on a deal, however that may look, and Derrick Henry is under contract long-term for the Titans.
Peter King has covered the league for a long time, and I respect him. I like his work, but I disagree with him on this case. You have to pay Derrick Henry. You have to. He is the face of the Tennessee Titans. How many times since the early days, Ryan, of Eddie George and Steve McNair and D. Mace and Kirst and the guys that are a lot of the guys that are represented in our bracket, how many times have you heard a player's name be chanted at Nissan Stadium? I can't think of any since Eddie, until Derrick Henry. He is the face of this franchise.
Right.
And so I understand it's very scary to pay a running back. It is. I get that. But he's unique. He's different. He is someone that I think, to your point, you made a very good point, that he's held up. Going back to Alabama, he's held up in his pro career, and he mows over his competition. Now, is that always going to be the case? Probably not. Is there going to be a scenario where, you know, you pay him for a couple of years and he starts to wear down? Sure. But they paid Ryan Tannehill a lot of money, and he's probably going to wear down too. I mean, that happens. Father Time is undefeated, except for maybe against Tom Brady, but that's a different story. I just think you have to pay him. They don't have a choice, and they know that. And I think Derrick has handled this well. Signing the franchise tender was the right thing to do. I don't necessarily see him holding out. I could be wrong. I went on a station in Kansas City on Friday. That was the first question that they asked me was, is this going to stretch into training camp, and is he going to hold out? And I said, I don't know 100%, but knowing Derrick Henry like I know Derrick Henry, I don't think so. I think he's going to show up, and they're not going to have OTAs and mini camps and things like that because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But I totally see him showing up for training camp, and that is going to further the talks, and they're eventually going to get this done. it's going to be similar to what happened with Kevin Byard last year. I know Taylor Lewan did hold out, but they got that deal done early in training camp. I believe Derrick Henry's deal is going to be the one that gets done early in training camp this year. So I think you have to pay him. I think you and I are pretty much on the same page, but I just don't see that they have a choice.
Well, you say they have to pay him. Here's the thing, though. You can't get reckless with it.
And I'm not saying get reckless with it.
Well, when you say you have to pay him, there's got to be a stopping point or a bar where you don't want to pay him 16, 17, 18, 19 million a year and pay him more than $50 million guaranteed. I know you're not saying that's what the deal would look like, but I do think you have to be smart about it. As long as John Robinson is smart about it, I'm all for it. I don't want him to pay Derrick Henry more than what Zeke got, and all of a sudden he's the highest paid running back in NFL history. I think you have to be smart about it with how teams are approaching running backs nowadays, where they're finding running backs on cost-friendly deals. And, I mean, look at some of the top running backs in the league last year. Saquon Barkley didn't make the playoffs. Zeke did not make the playoffs. Todd Gurley has already been cut. When Christian McCaffrey didn't make the playoffs. So, yes, it's great to have this running back, and I love Derrick Henry to death as a Titans fan, but you have to be smart about it because you have to surround these guys with a lot of quality pieces and not just go all in on your running back.
Yeah, but I think with some of those teams that you named, maybe outside of the Cowboys and the Rams, you know, the Rams were, I mean, that they showed that with Todd Gurley having the injuries that he had, that hurt their offense, because you can say what you want about Jared Goff. I think he's decent. I think he's a little overrated. I saw him play his last college game, and I was hooked. I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a star, and it's worked in that offense. But, you know, the Giants suck. I mean, the Giants just, they have a lot of issues. They have a young quarterback, and so Saquon wasn't at the point in his career where he could carry that team. Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, doesn't have the season that he had for the Titans if he doesn't have a back like Derrick Henry in the backfield.
You know, Derrick Henry doesn't have the season that he had, especially down the stretch without Ryan Tannehill. Those two together were phenomenal. And I think my point with the other running backs in the NFL is that a star running back on teams doesn't have the same effect as probably a star quarterback has. And last year was a perfect example.
Yeah. So it's all going to come down to what is the guarantee, you know, what the guaranteed money looks like. How long? I think 4 years is kind of what everybody looks at. Is that safe? That's good for the player. It's good for the team, you know, depending on how you spread out the money. John Robinson, in my opinion, now, is he going to get everything right? No. But I think for the most part, he's been diligent in how he hands out contracts. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. He, you know, I don't think he's, you know, I used the word reckless, you know, earlier in this segment. I can't point to many deals or trades that John Robinson has made since he took over as GM and call them reckless.
So,
you know, like
right.
He's been pretty smart and methodical about a lot of things that he's done as GM.
So Teron Davenport of ESPN has thrown out 4 years, $60 million, $34.2 million fully guaranteed. Would you sign up for that?
Sign me up, especially if in the first, let's say, 3 years of that deal is basically where all the money is going towards, and you front-load it, and you're kind of off the hook in year four if, say, in year three of that deal he starts to go downhill. That's the way I would approach that with a four-year deal. Really make it a three-year deal with the guaranteed money and all the clauses in the contract.
And you cover your bases there because, again, the guaranteed money is really all Derrick Henry and his camp will care about. For Ezekiel Elliott, he has $28 million fully guaranteed. So Derrick Henry would have, obviously, a higher payout there. And Floyd Rees used to say it all the time of, it doesn't, you know, you fill in the first year, the first number, and everything else doesn't really matter. It's all about that guaranteed mm-hmm. money. To me, 34.2 that Teron has put out there is completely fair. And I think that's good for the Titans. That's good for Derrick Henry. And I just don't see him as the type of guy that is going to get paid and then all of a sudden things are going to fall off. I know that that's something to be afraid of. Injuries, they could happen. But, you know, I could get hurt walking down the stairs. And those that know me think that, you know, there's probably a good chance that that could happen because I'm kind of clumsy. But
yes, there is a great chance of that happening.
I just feel like that this is what you have to do. If you're the Titans, it's what you have to do because – And then, Ryan, you know, if somebody comes out and they're like, oh, man, they're paying him too much, this is too risky, and then they win the Super Bowl, that same person is going to go, I'm so glad they paid Derrick Henry. Oh, that was so good. Because it doesn't matter at that point. It doesn't matter how much you paid Tannehill. It doesn't matter how much you paid Lewan. It doesn't how much you pay Henry. You got the Lombardi Trophy. You accomplished the goal.
Well,
that's all that matters.
Look, if they pay Derrick Henry all that money and then they go 6-10, that's a flop. If they make the playoffs and they every single year that Derrick Henry is under contract for and Ryan Tannehill as well, they are in the playoffs or at least seriously in the discussion, I think that's really realistically all you can ask. I mean, this is still a franchise that has gone 9-7 4 years in a row. And I don't think just because they made the AFC Championship last year, this team is going to magically go 12-4, especially with some of the losses that they have endured this offseason. This Bingo. Is probably still, what, a 9-7, 10-6 team in the regular season, would you agree?
Yeah, as currently constructed, I would not say that they're better. Mm-hmm. I think they still have work. Now, I like this draft class. I like some of the prospects that have been linked here that they have their eyes on. I think that they can make this team better when the draft comes around, and there's still, you know, some free agents out there that they could fill in some spots. They have the cap space, but right now is currently constructed. I don't think they're better than they were last year.
I think this season, this 2020 season, is all going to depend on this draft class yep. for John Robinson. If he nails, let's say, the first 3 or 4 picks that he has, and they're all contributors, and maybe you find a star within those first 4, then I think you're talking about a playoff team. You cannot come away from the 2020 draft class and not have instant contributors, at least in my opinion. If you want this team to get back to the playoffs, one of the biggest reasons why they made the playoffs and then made the run that they did was depth. They had a ton of depth on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And if you can draft some guys at low contracts and bring them in and they can be depth contributors or even a starter here and there, I think you're talking about a playoff team in 2020.
615-737-1025. We welcome your calls and your texts here on the Rundown. Are you working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 1025 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. It's the Rundown, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Eddie George, Titans legend, on Darren Donick and Chase last Thursday. If you missed that, thegamenashville.com, our on-demand section, has you covered. Tremendous interview with Eddie. And, Ryan, this is what we were talking about, Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth here on the Rundown, that he's unique, and I think you have to pay him as such. The focal point of the offense, Eddie hit on all of that. These are things that we all know that we have been saying. Now, I understand there are different parts to this offense. There are guys that, you know, A.J. Brown has stepped up and become, in my opinion, the go-to wide receiver. This team finally has triplets. They haven't had that in a long time. They have the quarterback. They have the running back. They have the stud wide receiver. They have to do it all again. But I do believe that this offense centers around 22.
Mm-hmm. It does. It absolutely does. And I do think there's, just like any running back, there is a shelf life to Derrick Henry. His top-notch effectiveness in the National Football League, I just don't think that shelf life is really going to appear in the next 2 to 3 years. I think Derrick Henry will continue being an elite running back in the National Football League, especially if Ryan Tannehill can at least resemble the quarterback that he was in the regular season last year for the Titans. I don't think we can expect Ryan Tannehill to 100% duplicate what he did. He played over his head a little bit compared to what he did in Miami. Played over his head a lot compared to Miami. But I do think the new situation, the change of scenery, did help Tannehill maximize his potential. But, you know, I I just feel confident if you're GM John Robinson that you can pay Derrick Henry a healthy contract for the next 3 years or so. Maybe it's a 4-year contract and the fourth year is essentially a wash. But look, I would feel very confident doing so as long as you don't get crazy with the money.
Right. Well, and here's another thing to look at too. You bring up Ryan Tannehill. Okay. So for me, my natural response is I want to see him do it again, but it's not just him. I want to see Ryan Tannehill now take a 16-game season because he's going to be the guy for 16 games barring an injury, which is a concern because he's had injury issues in the past. Mm-hmm. So I want to see him stay healthy. I want to see him take what he did last year and build upon that. Okay. A.J. Brown is going into the sophomore year, as they call it. Got to see him take the next step. And all indications are that he will. I mean, we did a question over the weekend on our Twitter page about, you know, the salary cap. You have $30. Take a player from each position. A.J. Brown was on there after one season compared to some of the receivers and tight ends that this organization has had since they got on Nashville soil. But he's got to do it again. And he's got to take another step in his NFL career. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, is another one. I think had a pretty good first year. Did he have some growing pains? Absolutely. Did Mike Vrabel have growing pains as the head coach? Absolutely. Your hope is that all of those guys are going to take steps in another direction to go to another level for this team. Now, does that always happen? No. You know, one thing that I brought up with Eddie and some of the other Titans legends that we've talked to over the past few weeks is you guys had a lot of success in 1999. You had a better team in 2000. Everybody has always said that. Derek Mason used to say it all the time that the 2000 team was a team that should have won the Super Bowl. They didn't. They got knocked out by Baltimore. So how do you take what you did the year before, build upon that, but don't get caught up in, okay, well, we went to the AFC Championship last season, so we're going to go to the Super Bowl this season because this team's going to be better, and Arthur Smith is going into a second year, so this offense is familiar, and Tannehill's here for another year. You can't think that way. You have to build upon what you did, but it's a new season, and you're going to have – I mean, look, the division, I guess, is a little bit better except for Houston. I mean, they're going to take a step back. I think Indy's better. You're going to say no?
I don't think the division is better. I think the fact that Houston is worse, and in my opinion, without DeAndre Hopkins, they are much worse, especially because you can't rely on Jacksonville Will Fuller. Yeah, you can't rely on Will Fuller and Kenny Stills to stay healthy. And that is just a total cluster you-know-what down there in Houston. And then Jacksonville, if they're just going to roll with Gardner Minshew, I don't think you can rely on them. To me, this division comes down to the Titans and the Colts. And to your point, the Titans could easily go 10-6, win the division, and then get bounced in Wild Card Weekend. And then at this time next year in 2021, we're not sitting here with the same, you know, great mentality around this Titans team as we do right now. I mean, the fact that they went to the AFC Championship, they won on the road and beat the Patriots and the Ravens. We're sitting here feeling really optimistic about what 2020 could bring for this Titans team. But like you said, nothing is guaranteed. You brought up some certain names. A.J. Brown, certainly we want to see another step from him. You know, Jonnu Smith, the fact that he's now going to be the guy at tight end, I think Jonnu Smith is a huge X factor within the season. And then whoever they decide on for backup running back to Derrick Henry, I think the fact that Derrick Henry isn't your typical three down back, you have to have a little bit, maybe a change of pace, scat back behind Derrick Henry. I would expect them to fill that role either in free agency later on if they don't find someone in the draft that they like. But whoever they roll with at backup running back, I do think that individual is going to play a key role. This is certainly going to be a little bit of a different looking team, especially with Jack Conklin now in Cleveland. It's not the same cast of characters as much as the core has remained intact. I mean, Jack Conklin gone, Jarrell Casey gone, Delanie Walker to a lesser extent. You know, we didn't see him in the second half of last season, but he's now gone as well. There have been some and potential potentially Logan Ryan as well. So there have been some big losses that they are going to have to kind of replenish either with some free agent bargains or through the draft. And we'll see if with this additional cap space that they opened up with the trade of Jarrell Casey to Denver a couple weeks ago, we'll see if that results in someone like Jadeveon Clowney being a serious threat to sign with the Titans. He's still unsigned. And a lot of people think it's because of the medical issues that he's had and the fact that NFL teams can't conduct physicals. So that could drag out the process on Jadeveon Clowney. But, you know, that's another name as well that we have not brought up this hour that John Robinson could be interested in, and how that situation shakes out could impact what else they do in the offseason.
Well, he basically said he was interested in him. I mean, I was shocked when John Robinson did the conference call last week that, you know, usually if the media asks about a certain player that's a free agent, you know, the GM's not going to answer it. You know, one thing that John Robinson is really good at is he can answer a question without answering a question. He gave us an answer. He said, yeah, we've talked to his camp. And he pretty much put it out there that the Titans are interested in Jadeveon Clowney. And I firmly believe that the reason they traded Jarrell Casey to clear that cap space was so they could pursue Jadeveon Clowney. Now, do I think that they're still interested in Logan Ryan? Sure, but I think he's probably plan B. I don't think he's plan A. And, you know, Mike Vrabel knows Jadeveon Clowney. He coached him in Houston, so there's familiarity there. I think bringing in Vic Beasley was a nice move because Vrabel's going to be the guy that can, I believe, get the most out of him. But Clowney, to me, they're pursuing. And I'm interested to see if he ends up signing here, where he's going to sign, how long this is going to take. I've seen reports that now he's backed off of the $20 million. He's more in the $17 million range. But he could wait, you know, through the draft and see how things shake out there. But, you know, you add him, I think that definitely helps on the defensive side of the ball. But you make a lot of good points. Running back for the draft, if they can't find a second running back in this draft, then I don't think they're trying hard enough. I really like this draft class for running backs.
Well, you bring up Clowney and Logan Ryan and the fact that you think Logan Ryan is plan B. Do you feel like Logan Ryan should be plan A? I mean, if it came down to, you know, you signed Derrick Henry long term, and with the cap space that you have, you can only have Logan Ryan or Jadeveon Clowney, and it comes down to one or the other. Who are you taking?
That's a very good question. I'm going to go Logan Ryan. I was high on him all year, and so I'm not going to back down from that. You know what he brings to the locker room, and that's important. You know what he brings on the field. That's a position of need, because not only do they not have Logan Ryan right now, but, you know, Sims is gone. So they don't have the depth that they had at the cornerback position a year ago. Now, I like a lot of the corners in this draft too. I think that they can replace some of that, but do you really want to bring in, let's say that's what they do at 29, a first-round pick, a rookie, to replace what Logan Ryan has done over the past three seasons? I don't know if that really makes your team better unless they just hit an absolute home run. So if you're asking me, if it's me making the decision, then I think Logan Ryan should be the plan A, but I don't think that's how the Titans are thinking right now. It is the Rundown, Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth here with you every day, 9 to 10. Darren Donick and Chase coming up at 10 o'clock. At 10:15, we'll be joined by former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher. When we return, we'll get an update on the COVID-19 situation from the Nashville point of view. I know the mayor has talked. We'll do that when we come back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to our Twitter page at 102.5 The Game to vote on our Nashville sports bracket determining the best Nashville athlete in the last 30 years. Voting will be open until April 15th. We have it today, the Jeff Fisher region and the Tim Corbin region, the round of 32. So you can go and check that out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter.
Yeah, some interesting results there, Chase. Already coming through. Javon Kearse holding a 60-40 lead over P.K. Subban. So when we did our Game on Demand video segment over the weekend, you, me, Darren, and Willie, we were all interested to see how Subban and Kearse would unfold. David Price up 66-34 over Paul Kariya. And the matchup that we mentioned earlier in the show earlier this hour, Shea Weber 62, Kevin Byard 38%.
Interesting. I think that some of those numbers are going to change throughout today. We have seen some late surges from people as, you know, and a lot of it is self-campaigning. They go to social media, campaign for themselves, and that swings the vote a little bit. So check it out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. You have an update from Nashville Mayor John Cooper.
Yes, Mayor John Cooper today urged all Nashville residents to wear face coverings, such as homemade cloth masks, whenever they are not inside their homes. All participants at Monday morning's Metro COVID-19 press briefing wore masks to demonstrate the importance of wearing face coverings while also practicing safe social distancing while engaging in essential tasks. And Mayor Cooper has also encouraged Nashvillians who are crafting and donating homemade masks to deliver their masks to the CRC, the Community Resource Center, our good friends over there at 218 Omohundra Place in Nashville. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Can I get creative with my mask? And I'm looking at a Preds rally towel. Can that suffice as a mask?
I'm not qualified to say whether yes or no, but the creativity is there. I like that.
I kid you not, when I went into the grocery store over the weekend, this guy walked by me and had a mask on. And I did a double take because it looked like, I mean, it was boxers. It was a pair of boxers that he had converted. I thought they told us to keep our hands off our face, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, that's certainly interesting.
Come on. I thought that was funny. But listen, in all seriousness, I did see a report that the state is very encouraged by the response to Governor Lee's order of staying at home, that the executive order that he issued at the end of last week, that we're now closer as a state to flattening the curve. Now, you and I started the show talking about that we both had to go out for essentials this weekend. It's all a lot of people doing the same thing. A lot of people were out.
Yeah, we went for like a 2 or 3 mile walk on Saturday, and it felt like a normal Saturday afternoon on a busy road next to where we live, and we were both kind of put off by that, hoping that the governor's orders on Friday would have resulted in less traffic outside. And, you know, I believe it was the New York Times that did a study in terms of cell phone movement, and really fascinating thing that they did. In all the states up near the Great Lakes, there's been little to no movement at all with cell phones. And you look in the Midwest and the South, there was a lot of red and orange and yellow on that map that they did. So really fascinating stuff. And that kind of goes to Governor Lee's point on Friday of really needing to stay home unless you have to go out and about for essential needs.
Yeah. And so look, cause it's affecting everybody. You know, we started the show discussing our lineup. We're going Golic and Wingo 5 to 9. And then this show 9 to 10, the rundown. And hopefully, you know, here in the near future, when sports return, we'll have a local morning show for you. But it's affecting everyone. And I'm working from home. You're working from home. Darren and Willie, coming up in a few minutes, they're working from home. And so it's different. I'm bored out of my mind. So are you. But this is what we have to do right now to flatten the curve. And if we continue to do this, hopefully, as it gets warmer, you know, by mid-May, there will be some semblance of normalcy returning. Now, is it all, you know, one thing that we have to be prepared for is when it gets colder again, you know, this could come back. And so we might have to look at things a little bit differently. I know I read that with golf, the, you know, the British Open is canceled. They're you know, going to expect that today. The PGA Tour is looking like it could pick up in mid-June at Memorial with no fans. They'll play the PGA Championship in August, the Ryder Cup in September, the U.S. Open in September, and the Masters possibly in November. You know, that's all great if that happens, but we still have to do our part to get that stuff back. And the president met with all the leaders of the major sports over the weekend because he realizes Donald Trump, you know, he's a businessman. He realizes the importance of sports in this country and how it helps drive the economy. So he wants it back too. It's not just that we're bored and we want to watch sports. This has an economic impact, but it ultimately starts with us as citizens of, we have to flatten the curve.
Well said. It's all up to us, and we got to do it together.
Yeah, and I think as we rally, you know, you'll see that, and I think people, it's taken some longer than others. They've realized, huh, this is a lot more serious than maybe I gave it credit for. Look, I'll admit to you, and Darren and I have had this conversation that a month ago, you know, we kind of looked at this of, huh, the Ivy League is canceling their tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that seems a little rash.
Right.
And then as that week went on, oh, they're not going to have fans at the SEC tournament. Oh, they're canceling the SEC tournament. And that's when everything, you know, the Rudy Gobert thing changed everything.
It did.
Because you could put a face on it.
It did. And you say over the course of a week, it was really over the course of 24 to 48 hours.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, to your point, I was in New York for a sports radio conference back in late February. And then stayed there that weekend as my fiance flew up there, and we were tourists for that weekend in New York. And knowing what we know now, that's pretty scary. And we both feel pretty lucky that we haven't shown any symptoms, because I believe it was the Monday or Tuesday after we returned, they announced the first case of coronavirus in Manhattan, and we spent a ton of time in Manhattan that entire week. So everyone, just please stay safe, wash your hands, do everything necessary to social distance yourselves. And together, if we can do that, the faster it will come to being able to see live sports. But the most important thing right now is our health.
Yeah, and I've washed my hands a lot, and it's made them kind of rough. You know, I have pretty soft skin, soft hands. You know, it's kind of nice, but washing them so much, it's dried them out. But that's what you have to do. Okay, that's how we're going to flatten this curve, is doing things like that, wearing masks. I mean, you may laugh. Now, I was joking with somebody over the weekend that I'm friends with. They posted a picture of their getup, and I'm like, you look like you're about to go rob a bank. But it's like, hey, I don't want to get the Rona. I'm doing what they asked us to do, which is what you have to do. So wear face coverings, masks of some sort when you go out, and just stay home. That's the ultimately. If you don't have to get out, then don't. Listen to us. Download the Game Nashville app. Go to thegamenashville.com. We got you covered. Ryan, that's going to do it for the debut edition of The Rundown. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Marquise Munson back at our studios, the Game Nashville, or the Wholesale Inc. Game Nashville Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stick around, though. Darren Donican Chase coming up next, ESPN 102.5 The Game.